I guess for me, just a couple of observations. One, I know the city had a risk manager a while ago, and then that position went by the wayside, and I wasn't part of the council back then, and I don't know the answer to that. And I do agree with the comments that are made in reference to if we believe that the risk manager position is such a important, integral part of the city administration, why don't we have a full-time risk manager? I see AP, our insurance company, has said that they would like to see a risk manager position, not necessarily, well, let me rephrase that. They agree that we need a risk manager position, and they do approve of the proposal. But I would propose that maybe next budget cycle, our next fiscal year, that we do create a new position of risk manager so that they can fully dedicate their time to addressing a lot of these issues. So those are my two cents. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Sorry. Ms. Leary?
So there's a lot of valid, everyone's, thoughts on this are absolutely valid, and I agree with a lot of them. I guess this is just, this is a way to, put a solution to something right now instead of waiting for the next budget cycle where I don't think we're going to have, we're not looking at having a lot more money in the next budget cycle. I don't think we're actually looking at decreasing funds for the community. So I feel like that's just pushing it off for later, and we're just going to forget about it later. I do know that right now the city administration was working on the APEI premium credit program where we get an insurance or savings on our insurance. As a result of having an employee dedicated to risk management for the city. And really, the way I understood it was that there's already been a number of claims that have been resolved as a result of the HR manager's experience with handling claims. There's already been a number of items that have been settled that it kind of seemed like that, at the end of the day, that it would be, I mean, it's theoretical, I guess, but it would be, we'd come out even or it'd be a wash that, if claims are being settled and there's someone keeping an eye and making sure, trending them and making sure it's not like the same people or the same types of claims that, because right now, if those are being handled in all the individual departments, that there isn't a whole lot of oversight, I guess, on risk if it's not being handled in a central location. So I tend to disagree. That's all I want to say right now.
Further discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion on the floor to adopt 19-11 item I-1 and striking 19-11 item I-2. All those in favor of such motion?
So it would be to strike I-2.
I-2, to strike I-2. All those in favor of the proposed motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Motion. Okay. We have four yeas and one nay. And going back to the main motion of adopting budget ordinance 19-11, aye, and we'll do a roll call, please.
Council Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And moving on to item 9-3, public hearing of ordinance 19-11J, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2020 budget, city manager and attorney recruitment service. I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Leary. And do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. DeWitt. Thank you. Discussion. Hearing and seeing no desire for discussion. All those in favor of ordinance 1911J, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2020 budget, city manager and attorney recruitment service, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Motion carries unanimously. We're down to item number 9.4, public hearing of ordinance 19-21, authorizing the disposal of lot 4, block 15, USS 3230, A and B, Bethel Recording District, 4th Judicial District, 781 3rd Avenue, pursuant to BMC 4.08030D, disposal to compromise claim. And are there members of the public that are wishing to testify on such ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Any further discussion on, I would entertain a motion to adopt 19-21.
So moved.
So moved by Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Seconded by Ms. Franco. Discussion. Ms. Leary is the maker of the motion. You have first debate.
I don't have anything to comment right now.
Ms. Franco.
Do we have a city attorney on the line? No. Okay. I have no further comment then. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a process question to you or City Clerk?
Yes, please. Ms. DeWitt.
This will be on council agenda two times, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That's all.
If I may follow up on that. So the council is going to have another public hearing on this disposal of property on December 3rd. That will fall under a special meeting. But the consideration will be presented December 3rd.
I would like to direct administration that we have attorney representation at that meeting so that we can ask some questions.
For sure.
Any further discussion?
Motion to postpone.
I would entertain a motion to postpone budget, 19-21.
Until December 3rd, excuse me.
Until December 3rd. Thanks, Lori.
I'll second that.
You'd be the maker of the motion.
Yes. I move to postpone ordinance 19-21, an ordinance authorizing the disposal of lot 4, block 15, United States Survey 3230, A and B, Bethel Recording District, 4th Judicial District, 781 3rd Avenue, pursuant to BMC 4.08.030D, disposable to compromise claim.
Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. DeWitt. Motion made by Ms. Hansen. Any further discussion? Ms. Hansen is the maker of the motion.
Not at this time.
Ms. DeWitt?
No further comments.
Any further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor of postponing public hearing of ordinance 1921 indicate by saying aye to December 3rd, was it?
Yes.
To December 3rd, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're moving right along to 10.1. 10.1 was passed on the consent agenda, introduction of a budget ordinance 1911K, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2020 budget. 10.2 was also passed. No, I'm sorry, it was taken off. Thank you. So we have, yes. So we have 10.2, introduction of ordinance 1922, amending chapter 1316-150 of the Bethel Municipal Code to establish a rate for six-yard dumpsters. I would entertain a motion to introduce.
I would move to introduce ordinance 19-22.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Seconded by Ms. Franco. Thank you. As the maker of the motion, Ms. Hansen.
Yeah, I just had a quick question on this. Looking down at, it's on the page 1 of 2, frequency of service. This is where we see the six-yard dumpster rate added. So for the four-yard dumpster, it says $59 per haul. And then six-yard dumpster, $66 per haul. Eight-yard dumpster, $74 per haul. I didn't see any formula for that, and I didn't know where that number came from. I'm sure it probably exists, but just for understanding what we're agreeing to on this rate, I just wanted to be clear on that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, please. Ms. Strickler.
I believe it was last year the City of Bethel obtained through bid 6-yard dumpsters. We realized that we didn't have a rate for 6-yard dumpsters. So the landfill foreman asked that we present to the Public Works Committee an option to establish a rate for the 6-yard dumpsters, and he recommended it be halfway between the 4-yard and the 8-yard. So it's half of the difference. Is
okay. Thank you.
The rate. Yeah.
No. Any further discussion? No. Hearing and seeing none. There's a motion on the floor to adopt ordinance 19-22, an ordinance by the Bethel City Council amending Chapter 13-16-150 of the Bethel Municipal Code to establish a rate for six-yard dumpsters. All those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we are now to we're now to 10.3 is amend something previously adopted, Resolution 1909, conditionally protesting Alaskan grown products, marijuana license. I would entertain a motion to amend previously adopted Resolution 19-09.
I will move to amend.
Thank you.
I'm going to move to amend.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. DeWitt. Thank you. Discussion. Ms. Leary, as the maker of the motion. There's a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. All those in favor of suspending such rules indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Ms. Sattler or Ms. Peltola. Please spell your name, please.
Gustafson. My name is Mary Peltola, M-A-R-Y-P-E-L-T-O-L-A. And I'm here representing Alaska Grown Cannabis, and the company is in full support of this amended resolution, or resolution to amend the previous resolution. The company wants the building, wherever the store is, to be in compliance with all codes and safe, and the company's striving to be a good neighbor and a good citizen, so we're completely behind this resolution.
Thank you. That was all. I just wanted to, I guess, straight from you to hear that. I was just under the impression that this company was intending to become compliant with all the codes. So that was, I just wanted to hear it straight from you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peltola. Okay. Any further discussion on Resolution 1909? Hearing none. And seeing none, all those in favor of Resolution 1909 amended, resolution by the City Bethel City Council conditionally protesting the issuance of a retail marijuana license to Alaskan Grown Cannabis, license number 20439, Alaskan Grown Products, LLC, proposing to operation at 230 Tundra Way, Bethel, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. And we are on to 10.4, amend something previously adopted, Resolution 19-14, conditionally protesting Cusco Kush marijuana license.
I'll move to amend previously adopted Resolution 19-14, conditionally protesting Cusco Kush marijuana license.
Thanks, Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Leary. Discussion. Ms. DeWitt?
No discussion from me.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Okay.
At this time, we should probably offer the opportunity for the county to defend their license or provide a statement or obligated to provide that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So at this particular time, I'd give an opportunity for the applicant to defend if they so choose. Please state your name and spell your name, sir.
Jared Carr, J-A-R-E-D-K-A-R-R, owner Cusco Kush. I think this, the amending the previously passed ordinance goes hand in hand with Ordinance 1921, the sale, which effectively changes the protest, and we are in support.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Hearing none, and all those in favor of amend something previously adopted, Resolution 1914, conditionally protesting Cusco Kush marijuana license, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. So item 10.5 is Action Memorandum 1971, appointment of committee commission board member Nathan McCabe to Finance Committee, Gerald Dominic to Board of Ethics. That was passed under the consent agenda. And moving on to item 10.6, Action Memorandum 1972, request the Finance Committee and the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic, and Health, or I'm sorry, and Safety Center Committee for to conduct joint meetings. I would entertain a motion to adopt Action Memorandum 1972.
I'll move to adopt this Action Memorandum 19-72.
We have a motion to adopt. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Sorry.
Ms. Franco?
I second that. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion on Action Memorandum 19-72.
Mayor Barr, may I start?
Yes, please.
Thank you. This is a fairly simple, in terms of external request, for two committees to work together through some joint meetings over the next few months. The internal work on this is not as simple because my request is for a thorough analysis of profit and loss from the YK Fitness Center since its opening through year to date. And the reason for this action memorandum, or why I posed it, was hearing a lot of misinformation from the community about the actual budget and the actual finances of the fitness center. So point one is to make sure that we have accurate information for the community and for us to understand this really large investment our city has made in this facility. And then the second point of this particular action memorandum is for these two committees, once they've identified what our revenue gap is, which is currently being subsidized by our dedicated sales tax for that facility, to pose some potential revenue streams to help close that gap. So I'm hoping that those two groups can spend some intentional time together to analyze the finances, give a report to us, and then come up with some potential solutions. I thought if we sort of expanded the sphere of folks who are thinking about this, we might get some really good ideas for how to ensure that that facility is sustainable going into the future. I submitted this to our interim city manager, Bill Howell, and he got back to me immediately with some feedback about the timelines, because of course we don't want anything to be too onerous on city staff producing the data, and he felt that these were doable deadlines, which I really appreciated.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Ms. Franco?
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for introducing this. I think it's definitely a really good idea. During the past 3 or so years I've been on Finance Committee, I don't believe we've ever really thoroughly looked at the finances for the pool in such a manner, giving us the opportunity to really analyze. I think having the 5th year anniversary, it's a great opportunity and a good time to look into how the finances are operating. I look forward to working with the finance staff. I think, you know, it's great that we finally have a new finance director and assistant finance director, and hopefully they'll be able to support us in this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Anyone else? Hearing none. All those in favor of Action Memorandum 19-72, request the Finance Committee and the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health, and Safety Center Committee joint meetings. Indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item 10.7, Action Memorandum 19-73, direct administration to sign the School Violence Prevention Program grant agreement and accept the award from the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Community Oriented Policing Services in the amount of $500,000 to purchase security features for Bethel schools and negotiate and execute a related memorandum of understanding between the city and the Lower Kuskokwim School District. I would entertain a motion to accept Action Memorandum 19-73.
I move to accept Action Memorandum 19-73.
Motion on the floor by Ms. Hansen to adopt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Leary. One of the things that I must say is I am the school safety coordinator for LKSD, and I may have a conflict with this action memorandum. So I was very instrumental in getting this grant working with the city of Bethel and LKSD. So I may have to abstain from voting.
For perception, if I could just get to my coat really quickly. I'm trying to do electronic, and it's just not as fast as paper sometimes. I'm running. Just want to look at something very quickly. Yeah. Well,
can we
you shouldn't
just
ask me
take a break?
Sure.
Let's take a short recess. Time now is 7. Okay, we're back on record. Time now is 7:51.
So if I could just point out the two provisions that would apply. One is under 205040. No official may use their position or office for the primary purpose of obtaining personal financial gain or financial gain for immediate family member or business with which the person is associated or in which the person owns stock. This provision does not apply to financial gain from salary under the terms of employment. That is one, which doesn't seem to apply as a conflict here. And the other is, except as provided herein, a city official may not participate in any official action in which the official or a member of the official's immediate family has a substantial financial interest. For purpose of this section, participation shall not include discussing the matter with the city officials or addressing the city council as a private citizen, but shall include voting and participating in the debate as a council member. That's focused specifically on substantial financial interest, so that too does not apply. Sorry it took so long, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. So I believe we had already entertained a motion to accept Action Memorandum 19-73, and it was seconded by Ms. Leary, and we are presently in discussion. Ms. Hansen, as the maker of the motion.
I just support the moving forward of this this grant, and you know, I think it's amazing. John Sargent was instrumental in getting this, and all of those involved in it. Working with OKSD, and I just think this will be a really good thing for the school and the community, so I support that.
Ms. Leary.
I also support this. I know it's been mentioned during council meetings, I think that's where I've heard it, I don't have any kids in school, that the high school could use some upgrades with the safety systems, and it looks like there's in the action memorandum, there's four different specific things that are going to get added or addressed at the school. One question maybe, is this just for BRHS or is it for, okay.
This is only for BRHS. When we, when I assisted John with obtaining the grant or writing up the grant, we had recognized that BRHS needed some major security upgrades.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any further discussion?
I would just say congratulations to the city and the school district for this partnership, which is leading to $500,000 in revenue that will help keep everybody safe. It's excellent.
Thank you. And just a shout out to John Sargent and the city administration for allowing this to go forward and develop that collaborative relationship. So kudos. Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor of Action Memorandum 1973, direct administration to sign the School Violence Prevention Program Grant Agreement and accept the award from the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Community Oriented Policing Services in the amount of $500,000 to purchase security features for Bethel Schools, negotiate and execute a related memorandum of understanding between the city and the Lower Kuskokwim School District. Indicate, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion unanimously. Thank you. So item 10.8, Action Memorandum 1974-19-74, direct administration to prepare a resolution identifying and describing the following city fiscal year 2021 state legislative funding priorities in order of importance. Number one, construct C-loop, extend sewer system and perform spot repairs in Bethel Heights. $10,146,000. Two, public works building repairs, $7 million. And three, dust control measures, $1.2 million. Acting City Manager Howell. I would entertain a motion to adopt Action Memorandum 19-74.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Leary. Discussion? I guess I have a question for Mr. Howell. How did we score these priorities that we would be asking for in the legislature?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Basically the process that we follow is that we consult with the people in the administration, and they bring these priorities forward to administration. Administration then evaluates them and kind of rates them. You'll notice that in this action memorandum there's a laundry list of other items that kind of were submitted to administration for consideration. Many of those were small and probably don't rise to the level of asking our legislature to fund them. We also look at things that the legislature's been interested in sponsoring or investing in the past. Sewer water projects is one that they seem to like. Dust control is something that's been funded in the past. And repairing facilities is something that's also been funded by the state. The fire station was funded through a legislative appropriation, as was the new police department. That was an existing building that was refurbished for use as a police department. And that's kind of the gist of it. That's the way we've done this for years. You as the council obviously have the ability to change the order of priorities or to add different things or other things, and we look forward to your insight on that matter. But these are the things that we came up with that we think are plausible, things the state might be interested in doing, and things that have passed muster in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Further discussion? Ms. Franco.
Thank you. So just for institutional knowledge, I was wondering if we are aware of what was asked for FY18 and FY19 compared to what was awarded, if any.
We did include in the packet attached to this action memorandum, the FY, I think, 18 request or FY 19 request. So that is in the packet. And I would have to get the FY 18 to you, but I think the FY 19 is in there. Now, the state's fiscal year runs quite a bit different from ours. So we're 3 or 4 months off in their fiscal year. I think they run like April through April or something. Or is it August through September? But it's a different fiscal year. So they basically, I think, are supposed to have their budget out and done before us. So it's prior to July, I believe. So realize that the fiscal years are not going to coincide perfectly with ours in that request. So, but yeah, I could get that additional information up here tomorrow and email it out to everybody for the prior year's requests. I think the dust control was on one last year in the roof for the city office. We funded the roof in house. I don't recall what the dust control, or actually it was the Avenues Water Project. We asked for the $8 million that's the city portion. They didn't fund that or the roof. And so we got a loan for the $8 million and we self-funded the repair of the roof for this building. The other items on that list weren't funded.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Hansen.
Excuse me. So I see for number two, it says Public Works Building Repairs at $7 million. So we've talked about that in past meetings about, you know, there's a lot of damage that has to be repaired there, and, you know, they're not even using the South Bay. And, you know, compared to eventually, hopefully, getting a new building. So I'm just wondering about this $7 million. Is that a pool of money that would just be used for repairs? Or is this something that should we ask more and just try to get a new building? I don't know what that cost looks like. I know we're in the process of getting those quotes from various contractors and that. And so I just was curious about that because that's way more, if I remember right, that's way more than we talked about for what it currently needs. And so I'm just kind of wondering, is this just a pool for if anything bigger comes up before we could get a new building? Is that what this is, the $7 million? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilwoman Hansen, the $7 million is the number that was provided in the Dowell engineering report that spoke to what would it cost to repair the floors in their entirety and the buckling walls, the buckling foam panel walls. So that's where the $7 million number was. We didn't, at press time, we just don't have numbers yet as to what a new public works facility will cost and how big it's going to be. And so that particular concept is new within the last, you know, couple weeks, month. And so we don't have numbers to present to the state for a new building. This is not if – now you did say, you know, what – kind of a what-if scenario. What if, you know, we got a grant loan and we identified it was $30 million? Could we use the $7 million for that if we are awarded this? That could possibly happen. The state does have the ability to change these legislative grants with some documentation and a request to the state. So that's not outside the realm of possibility, and I've been involved in a couple changes in state legislative grants over the years where we changed the scope of the project in the past. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any further discussion? Hearing none and seeing none, we have a motion on the floor to adopt Action Memorandum 19-74. All those in favor of said motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And we are at 10.9. IM 19-12, presentation of the city's water and sewer services expenditures compared to budget from July 1st, 2019 to October 31st, 2019. Utilities, maintenance, water, and wastewater activity report. And that was passed on the consent agenda. And we are at reports. Item number 11. And I really don't have any reports for me. We'll move on to the city manager's report. Ms. Strickler. Or I'm sorry, city. I'm sorry. I'm really on a roll tonight. Sorry.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Howell.
Yeah. I did submit a written report for this this time period, and I'm willing to accept any questions from the council that they have about city operations at this time. Just continuing to kind of show up, manage, and handle the problems as they come across my desk. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. And now, the clerk's report.
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Leary.
I guess I just see it's included in your packet, Mr. Acting City Manager. So I just have a question about, and maybe you can answer this or not. I posed this actually to the Public Works a while back before I was on council. But do you know, I see Express Bill Pay is on here, and this is probably not the issue I'm going to ask you about, but do you know why folks that are enrolled in paperless billing still get papers delivered to my box?
And I want to make sure that you understand this is not a smart aleck answer. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's because we are still sending those and out, obviously, but our finance, and I'll just kind of jump to solution here. So there's some deficiency, I guess, of kind of one hand talking to the other. We heard that the council's direction loud and clear on getting more people signed up for online bill pay. So I think in this last mail out, we were planning on, if it didn't go in this one, it'll go in the next. We're starting to put an express bill pay flyer in each envelope. Our assistant finance director is now involved in the utility billing and is not only starting the process of eliminating the paper bills for people that are with Express Bill Pay, but also eliminating the ones that were getting returned every month and a lot of other things. So there's an ongoing troubleshooting and problem-solving process going on there. This is the area that we've had the weakest staffing over the last 3 to 4 or 5 months, and we've been late with getting out bills. We're working on it, but it's going to include a push for the bill pay, a push for eliminating the duplicate billing, and that is literally the tip of the iceberg. We have a number of other very large issues we're also working on, that people getting water that shouldn't, people not getting water when they should, people that have been getting water for years but not paying. I mean, there is a lot of problems that we're finding as we have our new, really competent fire finance director and assistant finance director digging into this stuff. And so I didn't answer your question specifically other than we're still setting it out, but that's kind of a more global picture of what's going on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I know I've heard council talk about the desire for more people to enroll. That wasn't what I was asking about. I'm not being a smart aleck either. but just, I think I've saw this for a while now, for like months. I've wondered why I still get a paper bill when I've been enrolled in the online, and not, I don't mean the like recurring payment or anything, but there's just like a little button you can push on Express Bill Pay to opt out of getting the paper bill. So that was what I was talking about, but thank you. I hear that there are issues, and this is one of them that's on the list that we're working through.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Leary. Mr. Howell, I see in your report that you are starting interviews with potential police chiefs or your for your police chief position?
Yes, we are.
Is there a chance that we as council members can participate in that?
I believe the council and the code confirms this position. I believe I'm correct in that. So that will be the entirety of the participation planned at this point. And just to assuage any fears of like, and I'll just tell you our approach of how we're doing this, and you can judge it on your judge it on its merits. So I've asked our acting police chief and our human resource director to develop a panel to rate, grade, and interview these people. That panel's currently our HR, our acting police chief, an individual from the district attorney's office, and also I believe our director at TWC. So that's kind of our panel at this point. And we felt like we were pretty well represented in that. That's where we're at right now. If there's still an incredibly strong desire for the council to be involved or to have a person assigned to that, then clearly we would be willing to discuss that. But that's where we're at right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell.
Mr. Mayor, I had a question.
Ms. Hansen.
Just for my knowledge, for community knowledge out there, if people don't know, I saw in the Public Works report mention of the old bus barn warehouse building and also the log cabin. And I was just wondering, are there any future plans for those buildings? Are they usable for someone if they wanted to use them? Just what's the status of both of those buildings? Looking forward to.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Hansen. The log cabin, I think the direction we're planning on that is eventual demolition. I think that the repairs that it needs are beyond what is economically sensible. So that seems to be the push from property maintenance and the Public Works Department. We have not been renting the building out for some time now. It's mothballed. It's basically not heated, not being used. The old bus barn needs to be, we proposed a plan to the council, I think, two budget seasons ago, where it was about a $400,000 fix to put the building on the ground, on a gravel pad on the ground. The building is good. The entirety of the foundation of that building is built on the wet ground, and it's untreated wood, so it's totally unsafe to work on or use or even store anything in there. And so that's kind of where we're at right now with those two. So I think it's not outside the possibility that we'll be asking to fund that this budget year as well to make that building usable. The intended purpose of that building, the bus barn, once put down on the ground, would be to store all of the heavy equipment for road maintenance. We've been advised by our engineer that we can no longer put a D8 inside of the city shop. And, you know, we were kind of like, well, is it because of the floor condition? They're like, no, this building is not designed to carry that load. And it's something that the city had been doing for 40 years. So I'm pretty impressed what a good building that is. But even the current Public Works Department is an unsuitable fit for that heavy of a piece of equipment. So we're looking for a place to store all that big yellow iron, Caterpillar type equipment. So that's kind of the concept now. It's a little in flux, I'd say, with the fact that we're looking at, you know, whether we're going to build a new Public Works Department or if we're going to kind of continue to break the Public Works Department up and put it around town because they have kind of outgrown that building. Thank you.
Mr. Hell, I don't know if you can answer a question about the finance director's report. I see that we had some IRS debt outstanding penalties and interest related to FY 17 and 18 payroll taxes. And then we're looking at another $21,100 in civil penalties for failure to file W-2s with willful disregard, according to the IRS. Is it just something that we didn't catch, or is this something that was maybe before the new finance director came on board?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, so there's two items. The willful disregard, I believe, was a 2015 infraction, and the 17-18, I forget the exact details of it, but it had to do with the City of Bethel's reporting, yes. And so no one currently in administration or in the finance department now that I'm aware of was involved in that particular concern. Now, one of those debts was paid by the city after it was determined that the amount that was being requested by the IRS would probably be less than if we went through the audit process and challenged them on it. And so we cleared out that. Now, I believe the finance director also makes reference to that particular debt to the IRS was what was hurting our RUBA score assessment so much for our Village Safe Water grants. So it was very, time was of the essence to eliminate that. Now we are totally clear to get a full RUBA score without that particular thing holding us back. That was a 5-point deduction off of our RUBA score. The 2015 issue with the willful disregard is currently, and I believe I'm going off of a foggy recollection here, and I'll double check tomorrow, and if I make a mistake in what I say, I'll email you on it. But the 2015 willful disregard item, we are challenging that with the IRS, and it is not being held against our RUBA score right now. And it had to do with, I believe how we sent out W-2s or something to that effect. We are shooting for a very high level of transparency in the administration and in the finance department. And that's why this is also in the management report for you guys to understand it. And so if we find something that, albeit is unpleasant or not exactly the funnest thing to talk about, we still put it out there just so that there's an awareness and that we're working on it. Like I said, I'll look at this matter again in the morning and just make sure if I give you a better synopsis of it through an email tomorrow to your council emails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Anything further for the city manager, Ms. Franco?
Since we're on the topic of best practices, thank you so much for the report. I would just request that we receive financial reports of revenues versus expenditures for the water utility, just regarding best practices in DCRA. That is the format that they currently request. I know the finance department and the city were working with DCRA and DEC to maybe change that, since that's not how it is with Cassell. But if it's the actuals, not the accruals, that is what they request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilmember Franco. We're aware of the concerns with DCRA, and we're working, I believe, directly with Fred Browerman to shape those reports to the way he desires, and there's no reluctance on the part of the finance department or administration to change those reports. I had a report on this a couple days ago, and it's well in process. And basically, they were looking, the city is an accrual accounting system, and DCRA wants these in a cash basis accounting, which does take a little bit of acrobatics, but it's doable, and we're getting there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Any further questions for the city manager? Seeing and hearing none, let's move on to the clerk's report. Ms. Strickler.
Thank you. The two items consuming my time for the last couple of weeks have been the Hackney appeal that will be presented to the Planning Commission on Thursday. We will have attorneys in town representing the City of Bethel, and I will be providing support to the Planning Commission. And then also going through the intergovernmental sales tax position from the Alaska Municipal League and seeing how online sales tax provisions might affect our community and the council's consideration at the next meeting of a resolution to participate in that intergovernmental compact and the agreement that is associated with that. So really trying to wrap my head around the implications of our code, the amendments that are going to be required in our code, and the terms of the agreement that this community, this council would be entering into if you guys decided to move forward with the consideration of an online sales tax. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. And we're at item number 12, council member comments. I'd like to start with my right at the very end, council member Larry.
I think the only thing I want to say right tonight is that a small group of volunteers will be at the next Saturday market on the 23rd offering free reflective tape. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Ms. Franco?
Thank you. Building off of that, Saturday is Saturday market, the 30th, so a great opportunity later this month to support small businesses. Thank you.
Ms. DeWitt.
Just a reminder for folks who maybe have tuned in since we talked about this earlier, it's the YK Fitness Center 5-year anniversary, Friday, November 15th from 5:30 to 8:30, free admission, snacks, and fun.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt.
Did I not make that sound fun? Because it is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
Fun.
Yes. That was exciting. So, Vice Mayor Hansen?
I don't have any specific comments. I just want to thank anyone who tuned in tonight to listen. And, of course, always, you know, if you have any concerns or questions or anything, feel free to approach any one of us. I guess I'm speaking for all the council members. But, yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and thank you for tuning in.
And for me, I really appreciate the reflector program, you know, the clothing reflector program, and I wish more members of our community would use more reflectors. And I think for any information on that, we do have a council member who runs the reflector program along with Mr. Albertson, and you can contact Ms. Leary for that information. But I really would encourage more reflective use or reflective tape use within our community, especially now that it's getting really dark and windy and poor visibility. The other thing that I wanted to do was congratulate Tristan Ivan on his upcoming graduation from the Public Safety Academy in Sitka. Tristan Ivan is the son of Jerry Ivan, and this community should be very proud to grow our own law enforcement officers. So congratulations to Tristan Ivan. That's it for me. We're at item number 13. Do we have a reason to go into executive session? I would like to propose that we go into executive session for a few minutes.
Oh, you can't. It's not on the agenda.
I'm sorry. It's not on the agenda?
No.
It's on mine.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Have a subsection under that section.
I'll move to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Ms. Leary, second by Ms. Hansen. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.